Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for your mercy and your love and your grace. And Father, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity to praise you, to extol your holiness, and to uplift your goodness. Jesus, we invite your presence here this morning, and we pray that everything that would be said and done here in this service would be honoring unto you, and it would be pleasing in your sight. And O Christ, our King, we pray that you would send your Holy Spirit to whisk up and down the pews and in and out the aisles, and Jesus, that you would just impact our mind and change our hearts and put our feet into movement. So, Father, may you be glorified, may you be blessed, and may you be praised and honored and glorified each and every moment this morning. We love you and we praise you, for it is in the wonderful and the gracious and the holy and the blessed name of Christ our Savior we pray. Amen. Isn't God wonderful? Don't we have so much to be thankful for? And I just want to make one thing clear, and then I'm going to ask Brenda and Carol to come forward. As we continue to meet as a blended church family, normally we have two services for those of you who are visiting with us, but all this month we are meeting as one church service so that we can hear what God has done and what he did do while we were in Mexico. And I just want to make this very clear, that this is all about Christ. It's all about Jesus. It is all about the living God and the living Lord. It's not about the team members, so please know that. And God is an amazing God. He's a wonderful God, and we have just an awesome privilege to serve him, to praise him, to honor him. And with that, two of our members are going to share with us this morning some of the impactful moments that they experienced while we were in Mexico. And I'm going to ask Carol and Brenda, if you would come forward and just share from your hearts with us this morning.
Well, what really got me was the orphanage and what those kids went through. And there was a brother and sister that got taken away from their parents, and they lived, the aunt and uncle took them, and they made them live with the pigs. And when they got the little girl, they had to shave her head. But now her hair is down to here. And the love, what them kids go through. And still the love, what they have in their hearts. They will come up and they'll give you a hug. And you look down at them, your heart just melts. Because everything what they went through, they still have the love in their hearts. And this one little boy was left at a convenience store. His mom and dad just took off. And you would think he would have the hatred of being just left alone. But he has so much love in his heart. And he's being adopted to an American family. And he has a hard time believing it because everything what he went through. And everywhere you go, the love that these kids have, and they just run up to you and they just give you the hugs and everything. And they have, and they just love singing to the Lord. Breezy was up there singing that one Sunday, and the tears was just rolling down her face. And Betty was saying that she has so much love in her heart for God. And when she just loves singing to him, the tears would just start rolling down her face. And someday God has a very special plan for them, and they're going to have a family. And they're going to have somebody that they love. And I just say God's got a plan.
Well, it is really emotional.
Yeah.
I have to say there were a number of things that where I saw God. One of the places where I felt the Lord was there was a lady that was dying of cancer, and several of us were asked to go with Pastor Betty to pray with her and over her. Now, to get to this person, you had to go all the way to the top of the mountain, because the further away from the shore you were, the poorer the people are. And this lady lived about at the very top. There's no water. They live on the side of the mountain that's like this, and they like cut out just a pad where they build a little hovel. And when we got there, she was laying on a hard pallet with a piece of foam rubber and couldn't have weighed more than 80 pounds. We went there, we prayed over her, and she accepted Christ. The next week, they were planning on someone would have to, you had to be almost a mountain goat to get in and out of there. And the next week, they were planning on carrying her out to try to get her to Acapulco where she could get some care. But while we were there, like I say, we prayed, and you could feel the Holy Spirit working. I saw, like Carol said, the love of Christ in the orphanage. A pastor and his wife have very little to live on themselves, but they have the love of Christ that they give to these children. Mm-hmm. I think probably one of the things that really struck me were the pastors there. They've given their whole life to the people there. They themselves have very little, but they don't care. Mm-mm. They've got the love of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And when we went to the dump, you know, there's all these families that live there. We had a movie night where we showed them, was it Jesus Lives? Or God Lives. And fed hot dogs that we cooked over a little wooden fire, and brought ice cream and cookies, things that these people don't usually have. And after it was over, again, you could feel the Spirit of the Lord, because several of the people that were there that evening, there were about 80, 90 people from the dump that lived there, came, and several of them came forward and accepted Christ. It was very, yes, very touching. And what I saw and felt and know in my heart, that we were with a people that are materially poor. They have nothing. They have very little. Hardly enough to eat, they have to find water, clean water, have it brought to them. And what a blessing we have here. But what they have, what they're lacking in material substance, they have in the Holy Spirit. To me, that was much more than what we have. And I think all of us, including myself, need to work on that spiritual deficit that we have. And that's one of the things that I came away with.
Thank you, Carol. Thank you, Brenda. It is very true that, and you know, when I think about the experiences of the mission trip, and again, I don't want to make it about the team, but Pastor Sullivan told me in a lot of different ways that they wouldn't have been able to do some of the things that we did if we weren't there, with whether it was manpower, whether it was financial support, and things of that nature. And then you hear the stories about, you know, people coming to Christ, coming to faith in Jesus. Friends, that's what it's all about. It's about the love of God, about the love of God that was given for you and for me. And that's what it's all about. And so as we continue this time of worship, if the ushers would please come, may we all just give back to the Lord a portion of what God has given to us. This morning's reading from God's Word is found in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. If you're utilizing the Pew Bible, you'll find this on page 1758. Follow along as we hear and listen to a reading from the book of Romans. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. May God bless the reading of his word. Junior worship is now dismissed for those in kindergarten through sixth grade. We have a special ministry prepared especially for you. One summer night during a severe thunderstorm, a mother was tucking her small son into bed. She was about to turn the light off when he asked in a trembling voice, "Mommy, will you stay with me all night?" Smiling, the mother gave him a warm, reassuring hug and said tenderly, "I can't, dear. I have to sleep in Daddy's room." A long silence followed. At last it was broken by a shaky voice saying, "The big sissy?" Kids are precious, and next week, as I mentioned earlier, we will be celebrating children, and we will be having our children's Christmas program here during the service. Last week, we began this series titled God's Gift for You, and God's Gift to You. And part of God's gift to you and me is the gift of purpose he gives to all of his children. And we found that God has a definite purpose for each of our lives, a gift which allows all of us to know which direction we need to travel. And this same gift brings you and me fulfillment in our lives, and it gives us new meaning each and every day. Friends, when we walk in this purpose the Lord has for each of us, we receive a new confidence that we never experienced before. We're given a new strength, a strength that we never knew that we had in us, for it's from God. We're given a new perspective that it's all about the Lord and it's not about us. We're given a peace about what we are doing. And this peace the Lord provides to us is not from or it is not of this world. Another part of God's gift to you and to me is the gift of his love. And I want you and me to understand, to know the very thing which prevents us from fully realizing God's purpose for our lives is the enemy of any purpose or any person experiencing God's love. And the enemy of people experiencing God's love is fear. It is fear. There are all kinds of names for the different types of fear people experience, and yet it all is still fear. Fear that seeks to immobilize you and me from experiencing the type of life that God has for us. A life which will not be without trouble, but it is a life without listening to the fears that assail. During World War II, a military governor met with General George Patton in Sicily. When he praised Patton highly for his courage and bravery, the general replied, "Sir, I am not a brave man. The truth is, I am an utter craven coward. I have never been within the sound of gunshot or in the sight of battle in my whole life that I wasn't so scared that I had sweat in the palms of my hand." Years later, when Patton's autobiography was published, it contained this significant statement by the general. I learned very early in my life never to take counsel of my fears. Sadly, many of us do take counsel from the fears that we have, and we listen to them, and we heed what they're saying to us. And this will always prevent you and me from experiencing the fullness of life which Jesus came to provide for you and for me. Taking counsel of fears, it thwarts us from truly living and meeting God on the road of life wherever He leads. I can attest, and I believe that many of the members of our team that traveled to Mexico, we all, in one way, shape, or form, were face to face with some sort of fear that we had to face and deal with, whether it was before we left, or whether it was during the trip, or whether it was when we were faced with something while we were ministering. And friends, remember with me the account the disciples had while they too were following Jesus. This is found in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 through 27. And when he had gotten to the boat, his disciples followed him. Picture this. Jesus gets into the boat and his disciples follow. So they are following him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But Jesus was asleep. And they went and woke him, saying, "Save, Lord, we are perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, O men of little faith?" Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, "What sort of man is this, that even winds and sea obey him?" Friends, the disciples were afraid. Jesus said it to them. He said, "Why are you afraid?" They were fearful, which caused them to eventually seek Jesus. I imagine this was not the first impulse that any of them had, since several were fishermen and would have been accustomed to being out on the sea. They most likely tried every tactic and skill that they had honed over the years of fishing out on the sea. And when they had exhausted all means of self-preservation, they then reached out to Christ. They reached out to Jesus, the one last resort to whom they could call upon. Jesus heard them, and he responded. You see, the thunderstorms of life will come. The thunderstorms of life will seek to evoke fear in all of us. And sometimes the Lord will calm the storm, and sometimes he lets the storm rage and calms his child. No matter what God decides to calm, we all need to check our perspective. What's our focus? What are we focusing upon? Are we being controlled by the circumstances which are evoking fear in our souls, or are we being filled with a sense of awe because of the fear of God which we possess? The disciples had fear all throughout this incident. They were fearful of the storm doing them harm, and they were fearful for their life. They were afraid of what was happening to them. Jesus led them into the boat, so there they were, following him when they were faced with this fear. Sometimes, friends, when we follow the Lord, we will be faced with fears we normally would not experience. Notice how the disciples' fear changed from being afraid of the situation that they faced to having a proper and healthy fear of God. Notice that as they began to fear the Lord, they marveled, and I believe that they had at that moment a healthy sense of what it means to truly fear the Lord Jesus, or to fear God. I believe this is part of our message for you and me this morning, that we must have the right type of fear. The proper fear we must have is a healthy fear of the Lord. All other fears left unchecked will cause us to not fully realize the purpose that God has for our lives. We will forfeit the fulfillment, we'll forfeit the meaning and the purpose of life which the Lord wants you and me to have. Fear is not always bad. It is when our fears are misplaced and unchecked that they truly get us into trouble. We must submit our fears to the Lord and allow Him to direct our steps. And when we do this, we will fully realize the one element which God so desperately wants you and me to experience. And friends, it's His love. He desperately wants you and me to be fully filled and saturated with the love that He has for you and for me. Friends, fear is the enemy of love, and the enemy of you and me experiencing God's love for us. We're even told in the book of 1 John, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. Friends, fear is the enemy of love. God does not want you and me to experience fear, but He wants you and me to experience His gracious love. And this is the message of our text this morning. You are loved by God. We read it out of Romans. And there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God that He has for you and for me in Christ Jesus. And if you are a believer in Christ here this morning, there is never, ever, ever any need for you or me to worry of being separated from God and being separated from His love for us. It doesn't matter our situation. It doesn't matter our circumstance. It doesn't matter what we go through. What matters is what happens up here, whether or not we realize the love that God has for us. We must not fear anything will separate us from God's love. It is God who has chosen us, and He gave Jesus to lay down His life for us. And sometimes, friends, I think we talk of the love Jesus has for us, and we simply pass over it. I want you and me to really internalize the type of love that Christ has for you and for me. The scripture states that Jesus became sin. He became an offense to God. He was offensive to God the Father, so we, meaning you and me, could become the righteousness of God in Christ. What this meant was that Jesus drank the cup of suffering, which was destined for you and for me. He replaced what we were destined to receive, and He took it upon Himself so that we would receive the blessedness from a loving Heavenly Father. Jesus took the pain, He took the suffering, He took the hardship, and He took the separation from God in an act of a loving sacrifice so you and I could be reconciled to God once again. I want all of us to pause and to think of the agony, to think of the desperation, to think of the hopelessness, to think of the shame, to think of the misery, to think of these things which Jesus experienced for you and for me. Friends, Jesus did this so you and I would not have to face an uncertain future with our relationship with God. And friends, this truly is love. It's the love of God in Christ Jesus for you and for me. If Jesus experienced all these things so we would not have to, we need to check and see if our fear is a healthy fear of God or if we've allowed other things to cause us to be unsettled. May we all fear the Lord. May we all experience the peace and the confidence and assurance of the love of Christ, which assures us there is no fear of being separated from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I don't know where you're at this morning, but I do know that if you are fearful and not experiencing the purpose that God has for your life, then I challenge you and I challenge myself to change your perspective from focusing upon the surrounding circumstances and situation and place your gaze upon Jesus. Allow Christ to grant you the confidence to face what you need to face and to deal with what you need to deal with, and give Him all the praise and the honor and the glory. You may be here this morning feeling like your faith is shabby and shaky. Friends, Jesus said, God the Father is greater than all of these, and His sheep, and you and me, we are His sheep and the sheep of His pasture. And everyone who has placed their faith in Christ Jesus as their Lord and Savior are in His hand. And if you want to check it out, it's found in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 27 through 29. We are in the palm of God's hand. And He, God the Father, is greater than all of these, is what Jesus said. And no one can snatch you or me out of the hand of God. Know that. Know that. It's called love, friends. It's called the love of God, which is expressed through Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. I wonder if we heard that. Did you hear what Jesus said? No one can take the Father's sheep, you and me, believers in Jesus Christ, from God's hand. In the words of the Apostle Paul, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of all creation will ever be able to separate you and me from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing, not one thing can separate you and me from the love of God, which comes to us through Jesus Christ. You know, after returning home from the mission trip, and I began to process through all the experiences, and knowing that there were many people, several individuals that came to faith in Christ for the very first time during our trip there, and to know that never again will they ever, ever, ever be separated from the love of God, because through Christ Jesus, they have been reconciled to a heavenly Father. It's a wonderful thing. It's an awesome thing. It's a tremendous thing. It's an exciting thing to think about. The eternal destiny, but also the destiny here on earth, has been forever changed for them. And friends, that's why we go. That's why we do what we do. That's why we share what we share. And that's why we live the way that we live, to exemplify and to exhibit and exude the love of Christ and the love of God to all of those that we come across. If you're here this morning and fear has stole your joy, fear might have stole your purpose and even your connection with the Lord, then I challenge you to set your gaze back upon the Lord and not upon what is bringing fear. We're going to meet around the Lord's table here this morning, and I challenge you to do this before we meet and partake in Holy Communion. In a few moments, we're going to ask the individuals that will distribute the elements to come forward, and this morning we'll do it a little different. We're going to have two lines coming down the center aisle. We'll have two stations, one on either side, and as you are on the side, just partake of the elements. We'll partake by intinction, meaning you will be given a piece of bread. You'll take that bread and dip it in the juice, and then take both together, and then return quietly to your seat. So as we prepare our hearts, our minds, and our souls, may we bow before the living Lord and the risen Christ, our coming King, Savior and Sanctifier, Jesus. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Jesus, that you cast out all fear. We don't have to be fearful of an impending doom or judgment before you, for you took that on yourself. We thank you, O God, our Lord, our Savior, that in Christ we have experienced the love that you have for us. Father, fill our hearts with your love. May you challenge us to just introspect what we're facing and what we're dealing, and to see clearly where it's coming from. Father, set our gaze clearly upon you, upon the risen Christ, the Savior, and the coming King. And Father, may you challenge us all. May we just share in your glory as we praise you and honor you and glorify you. Father, as we meet around the Lord's table, we bless you and we honor you, and we thank you for the elements, the bread and the cup. And we pray that you would bless these elements, that you would uplift them, and that we would find new meaning in them as we partake in the bread, which represents the body of our Savior, which was broken for all of us, and the cup, which represents the blood of a new covenant that was poured out for the remission of sins. And so, Father, as we partake, O Heavenly Lord, Jesus our Savior, may we find new meaning in our relationship with you, and may your love saturate our soul, and may it just fill us and envelope us. And may we experience you in a new and bright and bountiful way. We love you, O Christ, and we praise you, for it is in the matchless and the holy name of Jesus we do pray. Amen. Jesus, for your mercy, and we thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. And oh, precious Savior, we thank you for the opportunity to just partake in Holy Communion and to do so in remembrance of all those things that you have done for us. Father, we praise you, we love you, we honor you, and we bless you. Amen. As we conclude this time of worship, if you would please stand and turn in your hymnal to hymn 293 as we sing Amazing Grace. Now may the God who truly loves you, may his love fill you and saturate your very being, And may you experience his love in a new and vibrant and unbelievable way. For his love is true. His love is great. His love is unfathomable. May the God of all peace saturate your soul with his peace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may you and I depart knowing that God loves us and experiencing his peace. Amen.